Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Amy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCPH intersessional meeting on Wednesday, 25th November 2015. On the call today, we have Phil Collins, Tony Holmes, Greg Chatan, Rudy Vandnick, Laurie Shulman, Tapani Tervanen, Kieran Malang-Karuville, and from staff, we have Robert Hoggart, Bennett Detarossi, Carlos Reyes, Ozan Sahin, Chantal Duxon, Adam Pitt, and myself, Mariam Baposhi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Rob.
Thanks very much, Mariam, and welcome, everybody. I very much appreciate you all being able to schedule this call, particularly our U.S. participants who are probably ready to travel or are traveling for the U.S. Thanksgiving holidays. I've got a fairly broad agenda for today. I mainly threw up the proposed agenda to try to issue spot the various things that we'll need to go over and talk about either today or on future calls, but I wanted to sort of throw out the gamuts. A lot of this call, I think, will be more issue spotting and identifying areas that we're going to have to address. On a couple of them, we'll probably make a little bit of progress in terms of identifying next steps, what we need to be doing over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks between now and the end of the year to get your program solidified, to make sure that we have the arrangements being made for the various attendees and participants, and otherwise just to get you all comfortable with where we're going, because a couple of you have not been involved in this process before, and I want to make sure everybody's on board and comfortable with the arrangements that we're making. The agenda, in addition to just this welcome and making sure that I flag all of you so all of you know who you're representing, I wanted to give you a staff logistics update with respect to locations, dates, travel, and hotel information. I wanted to discuss with you and get your points of view in terms of meeting goals, sort of what's going to be the general theme or approach and what you all really want to get out of this meeting. I hope we can do some issue spotting with respect to programming matters. I've shared with you the links of the past intersessional meetings, which are rich with content in terms of, you know, what the programming was and where things were going. But I think you all as the planners should feel free to look at those past meetings as guides but not be driven by them, particularly if some of the feedback that I'll share with you from the past meeting suggests changes or adjustments to how you conduct your work. Wanted to talk about the prospect of additional community meetings outside the 2 days of the intersessional for those of you who might be entertaining, wanting to have an extra afternoon, perhaps on Wednesday the 3rd, to gather, plan, or otherwise just talk about things that are important for you as we start heading into 2016. Obviously, identify the next time we'll get together and raise any other issues, any other business that any of you have. Would anyone like to add anything else to the agenda? All right, hearing nothing, I will proceed. Just to do a quick means of identification so that everybody's clear as to who's representing who and where we are, at least in terms of the participants on this call, I've got Tapani, you representing the NCSG, Rafiq, who we hope will be joining us with respect to the NCUC. I think his alternate is also Bill, who sent his regrets for this call. Rudy, we've got you for the NPOC. Phil, I've got three people on the mailing list from the DC, you, Chris Wilson, and David Ferris. So I'll look to have you guys in the loop. For any of you, you don't really need to have more than one person on the call, although the more brains and ideas, the merrier. For the IPC, I have Lori as the primary that you identified, Greg, and then Greg, you and Kieran also participating. And from the ISP community, Tony, I've got you and Tony Harris. Feel free, please, to, if you want to add others to the mailing list. The key here is to reach consensus on the approach, the schedule, the programming that you all want to take, similar to what we did via email. But obviously in the calls that we have or in other email communications, it'll be very helpful to get people's points of view and perspectives, not only from past experience, but new ideas and perspectives. So I'm looking forward to some of those discussions. Let me give you an update from a staff logistics standpoint, and we'll be able to sort of look at things and confirm at least the consensus we have to date. We're looking at our meeting in Los Angeles, California, specifically the 2 days, February 4th and 5th, which is that end of the first full week of February, in the Los Angeles headquarters of ICANN. We have been in discussions with a couple of different hotels. Our primary first option is the DoubleTree Hilton Hotel, which is only about 3.5-4 blocks city space, if you will, from the ICANN offices. We like that location because ICANN meeting staff has a great relationship with them. We've got an ongoing ICANN relationship with them that allows us to get some good deals on the cost of rooms and for potential meeting space if we need some overflow, particularly for some of your individual meetings that you might want to take advantage of. So we're focused on the DoubleTree, but also looking into some other properties around the ICANN office that will be able to accommodate us. And the meetings team always likes to go for several bids to get the best possible deal for the organization. So, again, we're focused on the DoubleTree. I'm pretty sure that we'll end up there, but there are some other options that folks are looking at. For those of you who will recall the January 2013 inaugural intersessional meeting, we did arrange shuttle service. I think we have learned now that ICANN's been in that space for a longer period of time to streamline that, make it more effective. It's an easy walk, but the shuttle proved to be quite convenient for a number of folks last time, and so we'll have that as a capability. In terms of travel, I've put you all on notice already, and a number of you have already been working on this with Chantel and Miriam. Thank you very much to begin amassing your list of attendees. We've set the goal benchmark of December 7th to have those rosters and names to us, with the understanding that the NCUC and BC have some elections that they're in the midst of or beginning to start very shortly. And we may have a couple of contested seats there, so you all don't know specifically who the individuals are. That's perfectly understandable. And if we can get, you know, the 80% of meeting attendees identified by the 7th and the meetings team can be working with them, then for others who may come in a little bit later, who may have individual issues with visas or stuff like that, I think we'll be able to accommodate that. Getting things in early and having that information early was one of the areas that attendees from the last January meeting in D.C. highlighted as a very important aspect of the pre-meeting planning. As many of you know, some of your delegations are doing this for the first time, and because of the time pressures and other circumstances last year, I think a lot of people were getting nervous in terms of knowing when they were going to get their arrangements and everything else. So we really want to get that nailed down as soon as possible. That, I think, also helps in terms of all of your pre-meeting planning and liaising with your delegations for the meeting. Are there any questions or discussion points that any of you want to raise with respect to any of the logistics for the meeting?
If I may, Stefani speaking.
Yes. Yes, sir, please.
You noted that it would be possible to have a pre-meeting of a Wednesday afternoon. Several people have expressed desire to have a whole day for constituency and stakeholder meetings. They're traveling all day around the world. It would be a waste of time if we could not to do that if we can. So is it tight hard? Can we have entire Wednesday, for example, for stakeholder group level or constituency level meetings?
Yes, Stefani, I think that's something that we can definitely arrange. I know that you all have different community makeups. You have a variety of attendees coming both U.S. domestically and internationally, and that's something that we experienced in both previous meetings, people want to be effective and some want to get in the previous day. So as you all develop your individual plans and ideas for that, we would certainly be open and flexible to accommodating you all. What we were able to do for the DC meeting, as a number of you know, is extend people's stays at the hotel by an extra day or so. Our budget typically factors in, you know, 3 nights, but we've got the flexibility. I tried to grab that in the budget for this fiscal year for there to be an extra night for folks, particularly if you've got that extra meeting night or that meeting day. So, yeah, we can be very flexible. I think, and I haven't thought this through completely, but in terms of timing and given the fact that we're asking for your attendee names earlier in the process, I think it would be necessary for us to know if your community wants to do a pre-meeting meeting for purposes of preparing for the meeting or just doing your annual planning, that you let us know by early December. So, I mean, when you submit your list of attendees, if you can indicate at that point, yes, we would like to have, a pre-meeting on the Wednesday, and we're anticipating it would be X hours. If you guys have a full day's agenda and can pound out a lot of great work, then we definitely want to be supportive of that. Any other questions? And I'm noting, Phil and Greg, your feedback on planning attendees. So thanks for that information. We'll have that recorded. Give anyone else an opportunity to get off mute. I don't see any hands in the Adobe Connect room. Okay, if we can move on to there's one other aspect that I want to make sure we touch on with respect to logistics, and that's meeting attendees and the delegations. As I flagged for you in the previous email, and what we were able to do the last time we met in Los Angeles was we had delegates, a delegate count of 7 from each community group, which evenly was able to divide the 2 stakeholder groups with 21 participants each. That we were able to expand slightly in Washington, D.C. because we had a larger physical space. I'm going to be in Los Angeles next week along with a number of other policy team members for one of our meetings, and we're going to play around with the space to see if there are any options to expand that a little bit to see if we can accommodate anybody else. The experience we've had over the last 2 meetings and the feedback that we've gotten from you and some of your colleagues is that the numbers are just about right in terms of participants, in terms of space, in terms of layout and everything else. But we always get, you know, well, can we add one or can we add 2? How can we sort of play through that? I'm going to examine that and see if we can provide some additional flexibility. Of course, one of the challenges is we can't typically just add 1 person, but if we're adding 1 to each group, that then adds 6 to, potentially to the mix. And right now we have a count of 21 and 21, plus the NCA associated with your house, plus the ICANN board member that you all appoint from your house. And so that right there puts us at about 44. You add 3 or 4 of us staff in the room, and you're pushing the limits. Because I'm really trying to accommodate the feedback we got from the D.C. meeting of having the hollow square. Some of you who have participated in Los Angeles in 2013 will recall that we had a modified hollow square in which we had 2 tiers of work tables arrayed and sort of all facing each other in the room. I'm trying to see if we can squeeze in the complete hollow square like we had in D.C. last year, and that's something we'll be experimenting with. If I'm successful snapping some pictures of the different layouts and stuff, I'll share that with all of you so you can share with me your feedback on what might look best and how you'd like to set that up. But I want to make sure I address that attendee issue. Right now, the default is 7 per group. If we find out that with physical space we can accommodate 1 or 2 more, then I'll let you know. But please plan for your December 7th to give us a full roster. And for managing the expectations of your own community groups, please remind folks that we've had, I think, fairly, and I say this without having Benedetta wanting to throw something at me over the phone, I think we've had very effective remote participation capabilities at the last two meetings, and have also learned from that. You recall that we introduced a camera at the DC meeting to give people an idea of what was going on in the room and give them more of a flavor of the experience. So we do have that as another option, and I think one of our attendees had to use that in January of this year when the travel just collapsed in terms of his air itinerary. So we still have that capability. Is we've got additional folks who want to participate. I think, Lori, you had your hand up, and Rudy, you have your hand up. So I want to give Lori the shot first, because I got a jab that you had your hand up earlier. Did you take it down, or did you want to make a comment, Lori? And then Rudy would be in the queue.
No, I think you answered my question, Rob, about I was asking about how many people this year, if we were going to keep it around 30, but the 44 sounds right, so I think that's all I need to know at this point.
Okay.
But I have a question about the pre-meetings.
Sure.
When you say pre-meetings, do you mean just this meeting just with the delegates who are coming or calling a meeting in the local area, or we could do whatever we wanted?
Well, this is building on, it's a good question. This is building on the learning experience we had in D.C. in January of this year. And that was that because of the clustering, if you will, of ICANN community members in Washington, D.C., a number of your community said, well, shoot, we not only have additional members of our community who aren't in leadership but who we can help encourage or recruit or do some outreach, and we have potentially regulators, political folks in Washington, D.C., and embassies, that we could have some really good programs outside of the two-day intersessional meeting. And so a number of communities did that, actually, because of the timing and the dates, the third day, not the first day. In this case, looking at our three-day window, I'm proposing and have focused on the first day because, as I mentioned to you all in email, there's a board workshop going on in Singapore that previous weekend and for the first couple of days that week. There are senior staff who want to be with you, who want to participate, if we want to be able to give Marcus Kumar an opportunity to join you guys and participate. We really need to shift the two-day meeting to the end of the week so that with time zone and daytime differences, they can make it back from Singapore to be in L.A. And so that's why it's somewhat transformed this year, and our learning experience will be, are pre-meetings better than post-meetings? One observation, and Carlos Benedetta and I did a post-meeting survey asking meeting attendees their perspectives and points of view about how they thought the meeting went. And one of the things that we flagged in terms of feedback, that of the two areas that people were not particularly happy with, that didn't get, 90 satisfaction ratings, one was the timing of the travel arrangements, and the other, some of you might be surprised to see, was the stakeholder group breakout sessions, where less than half of the people were satisfied with the program. Just a little bit over half were satisfied or very satisfied. So, in terms of statistics, I think it wasn't clear to me whether folks just didn't want to have the additional meetings or breakout sessions, or whether it was just more of a issue about the content of those meetings. But we wanted to give you all the option to potentially do it again, so that there might be learning experiences from January that you might want to apply, or with different mix of people maybe there, or because the issues are different now. In the ICANN community, that there might be things that you really need to spend some time on. So I wanted to leave that option open. That was a very long-winded response to your comment and question, Lori. I hope I addressed it. Rudy, you were next in the queue.
Yes, thank you, Robert, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I have 2 points. The first one is related to the attendee issue. As you remember, I sent a message about one person that, in fact, is not belonging to one of the houses, as the person was appointed by the NOMCOM to the GNSO Council. But as such, he doesn't belong to the travel slots, and it's an issue that I think we should try to solve also. It's probably one of the exceptional issues that needs some attention. So I would like to know if there is any progress made, or is there anything that we can do from our side to help solving the issue? And the second one is about the pre-meeting. We have an idea, a concept that we like to try to implement. Each time we have meetings in ICANN or even outside ICANN, it's about the outreach program. We could take advantage of the fact that we are in Los Angeles and reach out to NGOs and get them around the table and discuss specific topics that they want us to address. So I think that would fit in the concept of the outreach program that is actually in elaboration.
Yeah, thanks.
What I wanted to bring.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'll address those in order. Well, let me go in reverse order because the first item you raised, I think, is something for discussion among the planners. With respect to the pre-meetings, what we focused on, I think the correct approach that we took for the January 2015 DC meeting was that this group would be focused on the intersessional meeting itself and that two-day program in focus. If you guys wanted, as communities, to take advantage, essentially leveraging the opportunity where you've had ICANN travel support to all come to the same city intersessionally with an ICANN public meeting only about 5 weeks away to do some planning and other work, you should take as much advantage of that as you possibly can. You guys establish what you want to talk about. You establish what agenda you want to have and what goals and expectations, and plan that, you know, outside of the bounds of this, with the understanding that you've got other staff to provide that support. One of the reasons Adam was on the call is for him to hear some of these thoughts and ideas. So, yeah, there are aspects, Rudy, of your overall strategic outreach program you guys want to take advantage of and perhaps can partner with Chris Mondini and his team or with Adam and his team through the non-commercial support group. Those would be great things to leverage this meeting off of. What we did the very first time we did this meeting, and it was a pilot, right, for those of you who remember it, in 2013, we had a reception on the first evening where folks were given the opportunity to invite people from the Los Angeles area from an outreach perspective. And a number of communities took advantage of that. I think we ended up with about 75 or 80 people actually at the reception. And on average, I think there were 2 or 3 people locally that you all invited to participate in that. So that would be another option as you're thinking about strategic outreach for ways to push the envelope a little bit and maybe bring some more people in. So please, Rudy, yeah, is that something that you guys are thinking about and can work with Chris Mondini and others? That would be super. On your second point with respect to others, yes, you flagged me and David Olive in a separate email the brainstorm about potentially inviting Carlos Gutierrez from the GNSO Council. And I think you had recognized that he doesn't have a home. I would remind you guys that you all or your former or existing colleagues came up with the brainstorm to invite the board member and the NCA associated with your house, because you all embraced the philosophy that this is a meeting that gives you opportunity to build relationships, expand your networks, and just be able to forge some connections that would help you in your additional work. So my interpretation of that, Rudy, was that you were going to make a case at this meeting to say, hey, let's invite Carlos as well. And I think that that's certainly something for you guys to all talk about when I mentioned earlier being able to squeeze another seat at the table, I'm sure we could accommodate Carlos. I guess it's just a matter for you guys to discuss when we are talking a zero-sum game. Would you rather have Carlos added, or would you add somebody else? How do you envision your outreach on this? So I don't know if you want to make a case for that, Rudy, that others can respond to. This may be something, though, most of you hearing this for the first time could say, oh, interesting idea, let's talk about it, and let's make a decision at the next meeting. Any follow-up thoughts, Rudy?
Yes, thank you, Robert, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, I would like to make a case as Carlos belongs, in fact, to our non-contracted party house, as he has been nominated by the NOMCOM to be a member of the GNSO Council, and as such, he is involved in a lot of policy work and probably needs to have also a good understanding on where our non-contracted party house discussions are going on, so that he can use that in his work as a counselor. So, yes, I would like to bring this up as a case and see how we can manage this.
Great, thanks. Does anyone else have any views at this point on Rudy's proposal to add Carlos to the invite list? And I'm asking not to put anybody on the spot, understanding that you might have an immediate reaction, or if you want to make a decision on the next call. I'm more than happy to take either approach. Tapani, I see your hand is raised, so you are next, sir.
Well, thank you, Tapani, for the record. I must support Rudy here. I think it would be good for us. The role of the houseless counselor would be perfect as a bridge builder of sorts, so he should have a view of what's going on in both houses, so having him there would be very useful, I think.
Great, thank you. Anyone else's comments? Great. I think what we'll do there is we've got the proposal, some growing support for Rudy's idea. Let me put this on the agenda for next time. By that time, we will, as staff, have been to L.A., have been able to play with the room a little bit, and can give you guys feedback in terms of what other potential available spaces there are. And that'll give some of you who are just hearing this concept for the first time an opportunity to maybe chat or converse with some other members of your community in terms of Carlos's participation. I would note that I don't know yet, and we will probably not know for several weeks whether Marcus or the other nominating committee appointee will be able to join us in terms of their travel plans. So that, you know, from a slot perspective, things have a way of resolving themselves over time. And yes, Adam, Dan Reed attended the DC meeting. Both he and Marcus were able to make it, so that worked out nicely in terms of that concept and idea. And both of them provided me with some very positive feedback in terms of the opportunity to join. And so I'm sure potentially Carlos would have that same feedback. Rudy, thanks. Seeing no more hands up, let me turn to the next agenda item. And this is really, you know, just a 5 or 6 minutes, assuming that some of you have something to say on here, in terms of thoughts or ideas that you might have in terms of an overall theme or goal for the meeting. And I raise this in a couple of contexts. When some of you looked at the wiki space to sort of get some refresher, what are we doing on this again? Why are we doing this? You know, the original concept was to give your communities the opportunity outside of all the pressures of an ICANN public meeting to really sit down, think longer term, spend some less than stressful time, you know, just talking through some of the bigger issues that impact you in common as a community. And what was very cool, I thought, was in the Washington, D.C. meeting, there evolved this concept of the communique. And it really was, I think, quite organic in terms of how it was introduced and how you guys just sort of came together and made the time to discuss something and come up with essentially an overall statement about the meeting and some of the issues that were currently in play at that point. I don't know if potentially one of the goals of the meeting is producing a communique, whether you're looking at the goal of the meeting as something as basic as, no, we're hoping to come out of this with a better understanding of our respective communities, or we want to come out of this with a better process for X or Y. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to socialize or brainstorm a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish. There were a couple of really good comments in some of your email exchanges when we were trying to come up with the consensus for the date and time, where a couple of you made some really good cases for, no, we need to be having this meeting in this time period, not, Rob, as you posit, potentially in late April or early May, because we do have issues that we need to resolve now, and there are things that we need to accomplish. So, I mean, essentially what I'm looking for is an overall mission statement or some, without worrying about all the, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but just a general sense about where you all want to come out on this at the end. That will certainly help us from a staff perspective in terms of pulling things together, and I think would help you all as you get to some of the more finer points of the program, the topics you want to discuss in terms of identifying themes. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments about that? Just off the top of your heads, or just some ideas that you'd like to share with the larger group? I'll give folks an opportunity to come off mute. Hearing nothing at the moment, what I'd like to do then is leave this as an open item for you all to think about. Even as we discuss some of the other programming matters here, you may have a brainstorm or two that crops up in some of your discussions within your communities over the next week and a half or so. If you could posit this as an area of focus, that would be great. Harkening back to the evaluations that Carlos Benedetta and I collected after the January meeting, the feedback on the communique was quite positive. Reading from our results page here, 60% of respondents were satisfied, 33% were very satisfied, 93% of respondents would support the concept of a communique as a feature of future meetings. Some people had some ideas in terms of how to do that in the future, you know, create more opportunities for drafting, maybe do some pre-meeting conversations, and that could be this planning group or others. And what someone posited as well is that, wow, that was a real group discussion, and maybe it's better if we have a committee, but not all of the meeting attendees to do some of the initial drafting work or something. Those are all things to think about, but the overall message that we got from the survey from folks just a couple of months after the meeting was they liked that concept. So that's something I think you should all consider for this time around as well. Let me turn briefly to programming matters, and I anticipated that this might be more the bulk of your interaction on this call. To give you some perspective for those of you who may have looked back at the past program agendas, just for a refresher, in Washington, D.C., over the 2 days, we had a total of 12 sessions in terms of blocks in the schedule where we had time. One of those was the reception, so we can sort of take that off. And you see that your discussion windows are, you know, 11. There were a couple of breakout sessions there where you broke into stakeholder groups or constituencies. So if you take those off, understanding that those are the responsibilities of you as individual community leaders to sort of get those agendas put together, you're looking at probably 10 sessions over the course of the 2 days to sort of focus some time and issue discussions to. What we did last year that I thought was very effective that we learned from the first meeting was we also had individual leaders or chairs of each of those sessions from among your meeting attendees, from among your delegations. And so I think the concept of, you know, folks who might posit a couple of topics for the various sessions and then are willing to take a leadership role in helping to facilitate the discussion, contributing themselves as well, but to otherwise sort of run those sessions was something that worked quite well. We don't. What I'd like to do is give you the opportunity, obviously, over email the next couple of weeks to throw in some suggestions. But I'd be interested on this call today if some of you had any brainstorms or want to start throwing some paint at the wall here to see what may stick or what gets other people interested in terms of potential topics. Who wants to be first? I don't see any hand. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Rudy. I was going to go in order on my attendee list, and Tapani, you were at the top of it. Rudy, you were second. So Rudy, thank you for raising your hand. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Robert, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I think one of the topics that we should think about is what's next, especially for our houses. What's next in the when the IANA transition would go through? How do we need to structure ourselves to be able to respond to questions that we are going to get from our community once the process has kicked off? I think that's one of the topics that we should be clear of and coordinated among ourselves so that we don't send out different messages.
Yeah, thank you. And that could potentially be a number of different topics, right? I mean, you've got your IANA transition sort of theme there. Your focus right now is on sort of what the structure of the GNSO community would be. Is that what you're addressing, or I'm missing the point there a little bit?
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Indeed, it's all about first our structure. How do we see things should move inside our different stakeholder groups and constituencies? What are the duties that each of the constituencies will have to execute once things are kicked off? I think that's one of the typical questions that today I would not be able to respond or to resolve.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, one of the themes that was quite fresh during the Dublin meeting that a number of you mentioned to me in individual conversations was sort of, yeah, what's happening next with the GNSO? Part of that was the IANA transition. Part of that was the GNSO review. And more importantly for my team and our workload, it was conversations that a number of you were raising about potential charter changes within your constituencies or stakeholder groups. So, yeah, I think there is a ripe area there, Rudy, for some discussion. What I'm doing for purposes of this call and my follow-up is I'm just right now capturing these concepts and ideas. So what I will have is an overall IANA transition topic theme, if you will, and then I'll list a number of things underneath that. And so based on your feedback right now, Rudy, I've got sort of GNSO structures, future, and we, you know, once you guys see what I'm putting down on paper, please feel free to edit or play around with it. I'm just looking for ways to jumpstart some of the conversations. I'd also note that there's another aspect of this that was mentioned several times at the ICANN meeting in Dublin, and that was the internal team that Akram Atala has set up to begin the implementation planning for all the IANA ability issues, particularly in terms of what changes might be forthcoming for ICANN operations. And by February, that work should have a little, you know, have some momentum. It might be useful to talk with Akram or Trang Nguyen, who is the ICANN staffer leading that effort. She's in the Los Angeles office, and so there may be some value in having a conversation with her, or at least getting a brief update from her in terms of how some of that work is going. Thank you, Rudy. I've got Tony and then Tapani in the queue. Tony, I'll turn the mic to you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Rob. It's getting a little bit confusing talking about genesis structure, but one of the things I think we should add to our list here is to pick up, I think, on a lot of the frustration that a lot of people in this house had with the lack of the GNSO review looking at structural issues at all. So a discussion around some elements of that in terms of some of the views, which are going to be pretty diverse, I think, across this house. But getting that discussion going would be, well, it would be a good opportunity to do that.
Great. Thanks, Tony. I'll reflect that, too. You're potentially envisioning a session where folks would share their visions and perspectives and that you could all, you know, use that as a jumping-off point for some additional conversations, I guess.
Well, I think if we could get to basically agree on some principles that needed to be addressed within those discussions, that in itself would be quite a step forward.
Awesome. What I'll do is, as I start to tease out some of these topics, the structure I'm hoping to use is we would identify the topic, discussion leaders, and flag a goal for each of the areas. And so agreeing on some principles, I think, would be a good start for fashioning a goal for that conversation. Thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Tony?
No, I think you've captured all of what I wanted to say. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, thank you. Tapani, you're next in the list, and then Greg will be after you. Tapani?
Thank you, Rob. Tapani, for the record. Following up a bit of what Rudy said, I think I was planning actually to have some talk in our stakeholder group level organization in the pre-session meeting, but there's one thing we should talk together as the house of some procedural issues we might like to have a way of how does our house make decisions. In particular, I'm thinking about this recent process of a vice chair election that we might like to have some kind of a bit more formalized and streamlined process for that, because it seems to be not so well defined, so to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great suggestion, and it raises something that's come up in the first two meetings that put a premium on one of the or a couple of the recommendations that people provided, which was, can we please get the program agenda done earlier so that we as meeting attendees can prepare better? And if we can achieve my goal, I'm sorry, not your goal, but I hope it's your goal too, of having a pretty baked program agenda by the end of December, then that would give folks a month to actually be able to think about, prepare for some of these issues. And to your point, Tapani, I think this is an important area that is ripe for some pre-meeting discussions, you know, some pre-work. Granted, that has to be factored in with a lot of CCWG stuff that's going to be going on in January, so I don't know how realistic that wish could be. But the point being that if a smaller group of you or representatives of your group could start toying with brainstorming about putting something down on paper about potentially what processes might look like or ideas that might be there, that might jumpstart and make the face-to-face discussions more productive. And so I'm just throwing that out there. On that topic that you just mentioned, Tapani, and on any other topic that you think about the potential prospects of having some pre-meeting discussions, meaning January time frame, to help prepare for some of this stuff. So thanks for that suggestion, Tapani. Greg, your hand is up, and you're next, sir.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I second Tapani's suggestion that we get back and maybe actually try to have some closure on the vice chair selection process. We actually spent much of the past year on a rather slow schedule trying to resolve that question. We did not resolve it. We came very close, and there was a proposal that almost seemed to have been accepted. And then under the actual circumstances we were dealing with, we quickly tried to do one thing, which was not what the proposal was, but which seems to be kind of coordination between the two leadership groups, and then that turned into apparently some sort of a vote of the counselors, which was not necessarily what was contemplated. But I think so. There is a lot of history behind this and a lot of effort, none of it coming to fruition. It would be nice to see it actually come to fruition if possible, which I think underlines your point that we need to have this agenda out, because that will require some preparation and probably some pre-discussion to actually have some stuff on the table that people could actually decide on, or if necessary take back to their groups to decide on. But so far, it's a terrible example in terms of a decision-making process. If we can go on for a year, not come to a decision, and then not have people realize we even had that process take place. So similarly, I'm not sure where we're at on making being able to make a choice for our board seat either. I seem to recall that coming up with Marcus was a painful and improvised process. I think that we need to revisit that. And I think the overall issue of how our two stakeholder groups and the constituencies within them communicate with the other half of the House, it generally seems to be an issue. We did just revive an NCPH leadership email list, they've been populated very differently on the two sides of the House, which I guess is fine. Reflects different viewpoints of what's going on, but it's unclear how we communicate and how we can possibly make any decisions. We need kind of a better understanding of all of that. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, those are all just, I think, fantastic issues for conversation. I think you're right not to create the expectation that you will necessarily resolve all of those in February, but I think having the conversations beforehand, during, and then subsequently perhaps will create a mechanism or process for resolving some of these. We've got both Chantel and Miriam on this call, and so throwing this out sort of as a heads up to them as well, you all know that we now have these additional capabilities in terms of support staff, and I think that we can think about expanding that. I'll take some responsibility for this, more for being ignorant than not for doing anything, but I think that ever since we reached this quote-unquote House compromise several years ago, I think there has generally been a lack of process. I think in the early days, that made some sense. Folks were still, figuring out what they needed to do. But I think you all have cited some examples of the potential benefits of creating some more formalized decision-making structures. I don't think we're talking about creating completely new bureaucracies. But I will be more than happy in the substantive discussions about this issue, and also in terms of some of the planning, to offer ICANN staff support. If you all think that, it's time for us to be a little bit more formal with this House, Rob, can you identify someone who's responsible for helping to coordinate our efforts? Someone who at least will be a project manager, who has this on their list of accountabilities, who knows that they need to reach out to these groups, provide some time frames, and at least create a structure for making the decisions. Whether, you can completely resolve what the precise process is, at least creating that structure to give you all a framework for the conversations, some expectations with respect to timetables, and putting things together. So I don't know if that's something that you would all be warm to, but I put out that offer here on a recorded call to see if that's something that we might be able to explore. Greg, I see that your hand is still up. I don't know if you had a follow-up comment or it's just an old hand. Thank you, sir. I'm noticing, and we're also, you know, keeping an eye on the chat here, so thank you all for your various plus ones showing support for some of these topics. We're getting close to the top of the hour. The only other quick topic I might throw out to you all is, since the meeting will be only about 5 weeks before the Marrakesh meeting, you might want to devote a session to that, you know, just in terms of prep or planning. Also, we still have, I think, an open issue that the GNSO Council writ large is dealing with, but I'm sure your individual communities might want to explore, is the ICANN Meeting B that will be taking place in Panama. And there might be some useful opportunities for conversation about sort of what you all want to accomplish, if not just as a house or as individual communities, sort of as an overall GNSO community in terms of expectations for the meeting B. By that time, there may be more an idea of what the structure might look like, but a conversation among all of you about what you might want to accomplish within that relatively new structure, I think, would be very useful to consider. So I've collected and taken copious notes on the three suggestions that I've gotten. I'll throw in a couple of more just to seed the conversation. What I anticipate, for those of you who've been on past planning groups, is I create, in addition to the overall sort of view of what this meeting is, I create a working document. We went through 8 versions of it last year, which just sort of sets out the framework, the logistical issues, and other matters related to the meeting. Before your next meeting, I will produce that document for all of you and for those who weren't able to attend this call, for you all to start giving me edits, using it as a jumping-off point for further conversations. And we'll start identifying gaps and slowly over the next 3-4 weeks fill those gaps up via email or another planning call. What I'd like you all to consider, and I don't know if we'll need, but we'll probably do a doodle scheduling poll for this, recognizing that some folks have holidays coming up, if we could potentially look to the week of December 7th for our next call, potentially that Wednesday or Thursday around the same time, we would then have your list of delegations. We would have a lot more information about the hotel. We would have had a week or so for an exchange about potential programming topics. And I think we can use that next call as a way to see whatever programming holes we need to fill. And I'll be getting feedback and know from many of you whether you're planning on doing any pre-meetings. Is there anything else that we should be thinking about in terms of next steps or preparations for the next call? And I appreciate your feedback about the call times, Tony. This seems to be the sweet spot. It seemed to be either 7, I'm using my own time zone here, I shouldn't do that. But from a UTC perspective, either 12 or 1 UTC, right around 12 or 1300. So I think that's the sweet spot to give us the best coverage from all of you. So, no, not the 7th, Rudy. I'd be looking later in the week, potentially the 9th or the 10th. And Benedette and I will get out with some poll to recommend that. We are reaching the top of the hour, or actually have reached it. Is there any other burning issue that anyone would like to raise that we have not touched on that we should? Hearing nothing and seeing some of the preliminary feedback in the chat, I think we will look for the 9th. The only challenge there is I will be getting off a red eye about an hour and a half before the meeting is scheduled, but I think that should be doable. So I think that, you know, if that's the window that works for everybody, we'll target that. I might be mobile for part of the call, but Miriam's done a great job of getting us set up on this meeting, so we'll work on that as our operative next time, Wednesday the 9th at the same time. So thank you all very much for joining. We're off to a good start. Our goal is to have this work completed by the end of the third week of December, and I think we can do it. Please, if there are any comments or ideas that occur to you after this call, please drop us a line on the email list. Benedette and I are going to be working on putting together a similar wiki page and wiki space where we'll have the recordings of the calls, the planning calls, and we'll start building out the various documentation items that we're going to need for the meeting. So when we get that space built, I'll also alert you all to that. Thank you all very much for joining. Look forward to you all getting together again. And Greg, thanks for your final comment there. Please, any suggestions on substantive policy issues, please circulate them via email. We'll get them on the list. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jamie, you can now stop the recording. Thank you very much. Thank you all for attending the meeting. Bye.